Listening to the Cannabis Hangout, two girls, one bowl, and a podcast that is breaking the stigma of marijuana. My name is Brannon.
And my name is Saba. We will be connecting with a community of cannabis enthusiasts by educating people,
sharing stories from medical marijuana patients,
and interviewing industry leaders while debunking cannabis myths.
So we invite you to come roll with us
while we break it all down.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. I'm Saba.
And I'm Brannon.
And we are your hosts of the Cannabis Hangout. On today's episode, we're speaking with someone we met through the business, and he's an entrepreneur himself with his hands in multiple things, and we're really excited to chat with him. Some of you may have heard the phrase, make America dope again, and he's the man behind that. So please welcome Rob to the Cannabis Hangout.
To clap. No.
Hey, Rob.
I think we have one of those, but I can't remember what one.
I know.
Yeah, you gotta get the clapper, man.
Hey, Rod.
We're so happy you're here today. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule just to be here with us. This is really exciting. Let's just dive in. Tell us where your journey with cannabis first began.
Oh, man. Into the business or just in life?
In life.
in life.
Yeah.
The side of my best friend's house. I was 14 years old.
Wow.
And they had a blunt rolled. And they're like, yeah. Come smoke this. And I'm like, I didn't know. I don't know if I smoked it right.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you if I got high or not.
Yeah.
But I smoked it.
Yeah.
Went home. I think I sprayed like a ton of cologne on so my parents wouldn't smell it.
All they smell is the cologne. Yeah. And then they're like, why do you smell like that?
And then I started like a little streak. My friend would pick me up from school, mm-hmm. in high school. And man, we showed up to class high like every day.
That's so ballsy.
Oh, so ballsy. Now, looking back,
that's so ballsy.
Oh, man, this is the 90s, so 96, yeah. 97. Mm-hmm. Walking into class late.
Right.
Smelling like a pound of weed.
Oh,
Lord.
Did you grow up in Oklahoma?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Oklahoma City.
Oh, really?
Born and raised. Okay. Where did you go to high school?
Classen SAS.
Okay, wow.
Best school in the country.
Really? Wow, you buy that one.
I know. Straight up. So I know everyone has their go-to preferred methods of consumption. What's your favorite way to consume cannabis? And do you have like a daily routine that you like to go by, or is it just like you fly by the seat of your pants?
Favorite routine, I'm old school. I like a nice joint.
Okay.
Disclaimer, I can't roll them.
Okay, now we have a problem.
I mean, you know, everybody always rolled for me.
Yeah.
That's my whole life. How I am, yeah, Rod. So honestly, I can't knock that. Yeah. I'd be doing that too.
I know. I can't relate because I do roll. Yeah. And so I'm always the roller. Actually, that right there, I had one of the boys in their roll. He was like, oh, you can't roll. I was like, no, I can. I just always roll. So when I don't have to, I prefer not to.
Yeah. If I roll, people would think I was a narc.
Really?
Yeah, they'd be like, he sucks. Like, he can't be in the business. Like, get this narc out of here.
He sucks. So do you stuff or do you just buy pre-roll joints?
Pre-roll. I get pre-roll and like people still rolling for me. So I really just,
people
just bring them to me.
Wow. Shout out to those people.
Yeah, you know.
Let's take a second for that.
People
Never.
Just bring them to me.
Yeah, it's like, are they on command or what's happening here?
Everybody always knew growing up, like, no, he doesn't roll. It's like, no.
Yeah, I've done it like probably two times I can actually recall of, but it was like out of desperation. Yeah.
Okay, but you didn't do that bad because you sent me pic.
Okay.
It wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible.
But I mean, I just don't have the patience.
Okay, listen, 2022 is coming up and I'm challenging the both of you right here, right now.
I can definitely nail it.
In front of the world.
I think my hands are too big.
I don't know about that. My hands are pretty big for a girl.
I got big hands. You know, I think girls are like the best rollers, probably.
I mean, really? Girls are the best at everything.
Blame me on the big hands.
Yeah. And how girls are better rollers.
You are think about delicacy.
All right. Yeah. All right. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, you know. That wired differently.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Man, we're kind of rough. It'll be holes in it. All kind of stuff. It'll be falling apart.
I don't know. That was rolled by a man, and that's pretty solid.
Well, it's also a... I guess hemp wrapper, you said. A little thicker.
I can roll a blunt.
Rod.
You're good.
Sorry.
You're all
Should
good.
Have kept it going. Could have been a little on my lap. I love that.
I do like rolling blunts. Do you like swishers? Or do you like, are you a hemp wrap guy?
I'm more pre-rolls, hemp wraps.
Okay.
I stay away from like the backwoods and all those
See,
things.
We have a friend that likes to roll in backwoods, and honestly, I don't know if I'm, I like it, but I don't know if I like it. Kind of, it, the tobacco adds a weird buzz to my head. Yeah. I'm not crazy about it.
I try to keep it a little pure.
Yeah. Yeah. The, what do you have a go-to strain you like?
Granddaddy Perp is my favorite.
Okay. Nice. I feel like that older strains like that, like the OG strains, have gone really like lost in the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite of all time.
The dating one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at what point in your life did you feel like cannabis became more than just maybe smoking, but you were like, this is actually really helping me, or it's, you know, more medicinal?
I would say when I hurt my knee.
Okay.
I ruptured my patella in 2015.
Okay.
Playing basketball. And I had a coworker that would bring me roll of joints.
Okay. Wow. You spoiled. Spoiled.
Yeah. He would bring me a roll of joints. His dad had a grow. Granddaddy Perp. That's how I got put on the Granddaddy Perp.
Okay. So that's dope.
He was come dropping by the door like, hey, yeah, brought your medicine for the day.
Okay.
And I would see, like, it helped my knee because I didn't take any pain pills or anything.
Oh, that's
just
awesome.
So tell me this. From, okay, so obviously there's like so many different genetics and stuff. Have you found a Granddaddy Perp that you're like, nah, don't mess with that because it doesn't feel familiar?
Nah, not yet.
Really? Okay, so it's pretty spot on, pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. Well, I like to hear that because you know how sometimes you hear about like, sometimes, you know, things will be grown one way, but it's really like the complete opposite ends of the spectrum.
But that's good to hear. Good for pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Granddaddy Purple, y'all listening?
That's cool. GDP, man. GDP,
so you said it, you got an injury in your knee and then that's when you found, how old were you?
I was 34.
Okay, so you were old enough to understand like what was actually happening. That's cool.
Yeah.
I feel like it's cooler to start so young smoking just for what it was, but then getting older and being able to feel and realize the medicinal properties of it, because I feel like it gives you a different perspective but also appreciation.
Oh, absolutely.
Like now every time you smoke, it's not just to, I mean, yes, it'll be just to get high as well, but it'll be like, I'm trying to treat this because this is happening.
I think I noticed it the most actually this year when I hurt my neck.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed. I fractured my neck.
Oh,
yeah.
In January.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That does not sound.
And that's when I noticed.
Can you like, can you tell her how? Or are you allowed to say all that?
Yeah, I can tell.
Tell the people the story.
It's crazy.
So I was flying back from LA on the airplane. I'm asleep. Mm-hmm. And the turbulence happened. Shot me in the air. Hit my head like where the lights and the air thing is in the plane.
Oh my gosh.
Cracked my neck. Worst pain ever.
Oh my gosh. How long was the flight after that?
I mean, until you landed? Like 20, 30 minutes.
Oh, thank God.
So yeah, got off the plane. They brought the wheelchair. Went straight to the ER.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, had the neck brace for three and a half months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so crazy. So how's that work? Like, is that anybody's, that's not really anybody's fault,
No, it's their fault. You know,
they're
luckily
liable.
I have a lawyer.
Okay.
So, you know, in negotiations now.
Ah, okay. Wow, that's crazy.
That's like such a different process.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, were you headed home?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, at least you were headed home.
Yeah, I'm headed
Silver
home.
Lining, I guess.
Called my mom, and I was like, I hurt my neck. She's like, what do you mean? She's picking up from the airport.
Hurt my neck.
Yeah. It was like a big storm that night.
Oh, no. Even worse.
Yeah. But it's crazy to get, you know, waking up and just flying in the air. Like, it was just
like you were sleeping and then came up out of
That's
your sleep.
Crazy.
And like, just.
I bet you don't sleep on airplanes anymore.
No, I just make sure my seatbelt is like extra, extra tight.
Oh, yeah. That's smart. Dang, that is crazy.
I mean,
that's
they like are liable sort of, for that. You are a passenger on their plane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta think about it. Like, when they're gonna land, they say you put your trays up, let your seat up.
Yeah, that's true.
When they take off, make sure your seatbelt is buckled. I was asleep. They didn't say nothing. They just let me be there asleep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Could have been paralyzed.
Yeah. Honestly, that's really scary. That is your neck, and that's a big part of, like, you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You realize after you heard it.
Yeah.
I would take edibles.
What would be your go-to?
You know, I like, my friend has this thing called country corn.
Country corn.
Yeah, so popcorn.
Okay.
Like a sweet popcorn. Lays you out, though.
Really?
Nice.
Wow. You probably want that, though, when your neck is that much pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would take those. My favorite edibles of all time are Camino's. I don't think they have them in Oklahoma.
They actually just came to Oklahoma recently.
Really?
They're like gummies, right?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. 5 milligrams?
Yeah, so they're low dose. So are you low doser?
California brand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're money. Yeah, I like
really?
Them a lot.
Yeah, we just got them in Oklahoma I would say in the last like,
I would
four
love
months,
to try them.
Three
I
months.
Love like microdosing or like low dose edibles like that because you can always like add on to it if you feel like it, but it's never too much, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
You can work on those and everything. I've gone to court on them before.
Really? Okay, we'll dive into that a little bit.
Yeah.
But so tell us, you're from Oklahoma. What was it like when State Question 788 passed? Were you here? Where were you? What was happening? What was going through your mind?
I was in L.A.
Okay.
At the time, because I was living out there. And so when it passed, I didn't think it was going to pass, especially the way that, you know, it was written.
Yes.
I was like, no way this is going to pass. And when it passed, I was like, oh, shit, this game on.
Yeah.
It's really about to happen.
Yeah.
So it threw me for a loop.
Honestly, I think it was everyone, but a lot of, and Brandon and I say this very often, a lot of it was the older generation, I feel like, that really came out of the woodworks to push for it. Of course, it was the younger generation, but I was a budtender, and I would say my patient base was all over the age of 32 to 35.
I bet.
Like, none of my patients were really that young. Right. But I also feel like there's certain dispensaries for that demographic. But I feel like a majority of the people I do see in dispensaries are a lot older people that are wanting it for a lot of, you know, medicinal reasons, which is really cool.
Yeah, I was shocked whenever it went. I was like, okay, like, we'll see what happens. Yeah. Like, very hopeful. But then I was like, wow.
I remember you were so hyped. So Brandon actually, it's funny, she started smoking after, but she was the first person out of our like friend group to get her med card. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're going to the dispensary? That's crazy. I can still buy my ounces for 200. Like, I'm going to stick with that.
I'm really excited. Like, my first med card picture, I literally look like I just came out of like...
Oh, I look like I'm an insane asylum, literally.
Because I was so excited. It was just like no makeup. I think it's like when I got out of the shower and you're supposed to do it against like a white wall and like not smile.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of scary. I was like, oh my gosh. But, you know, it's what I uploaded and I just sent it. And then my card, I was like, wow, this is really bad. But I got my med card.
Yeah, I remember
it. I voted for it and I was really proud. I was like, I'm a part of this.
I know. I voted for it too. And I remember standing in line and it was cool to see like all the different kinds of people. And it was so like empowering to like when it did pass, I was like, holy shit, like I was a part of that. Like my vote did count right there.
I didn't come back and vote, but I lobbied behind it. So
I love that. You know? That matters. Yeah. Listen, that every little step matters.
It sure does.
Setting up a new company can be difficult and confusing, but establishing a strong foundation with appropriate and necessary documents can help protect you in the long run.
Yes, and with being business owners ourselves, Saab, we understand what it's like pretty well, I think.
With BIC Legal, they practice in areas like family law, estate planning, business litigation, and review and draft contracts for your company, while assisting in licensing applications, and so much more.
And with the Oklahoma cannabis industry thriving, the rules and regulations related to cannabis are quite strict. Jade Pepworth with BIC Legal, she really enjoys working with companies from the ground up. So if you're looking for good legal help in Oklahoma, she's your girl. Let's get back to today's episode.
So flipping the script a little, Rod, tell us about like who you are and what you do.
So we started a company called Dopeaholics. The story behind that is actually kind of funny.
Let's hear it.
I was in Ohio working with an oil and gas company, and I was kind of like the client entertainment guy.
Okay.
That's very fitting, I feel like.
And so I'm flying to Denver to hang out with a client for St. Patty's.
Okay.
And this is 2014, so, you know, of course, cannabis is legal.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been there, so as soon as I land, I'm like, hey, man, you know, let's go to the dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to the dispensary, walk in, it's two white guys, you know, in their 30s. They're talking to each other like, man, like, you know, we should open a dispensary. And in my mind, I'm looking around, I'm like, shit, I'm about to. And so we get to buy a little goodies or whatever and leave and go to another one of their coworkers' house for an after party. And, of course, it's oil and gas, so there's not many black people.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not going to put my weed out because I'm not about to lose my job.
Smart.
Like, I'm not
going
to do that. You
got to assess the situation.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm having a conversation just like this. Mm-hmm. And I look around, and there's, like, joints, like, going around everywhere. And I'm just like, oh, shit, they smoke like we do. So, I'm like,
okay.
Dollar signs went off my head. So I go back home, and, geez, alarm, sorry.
It's okay.
I go back home. And I remember my girlfriend at the time, we were breaking up, and I was mad before I left. She brought this cannabis magazine. Like, it was like Newsweek, maybe. You know, they had those magazines with talking about marijuana. Coming.
Yes.
And
hits the blend.
Yeah.
Hits blend.
Yeah, hits blend. Like the little meme, hits the blend.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yes.
And so,
that's funny.
I'll pass so I can talk.
Okay.
But yeah, she had the magazine. And I'm mad. She bought it. When she bought it, I was mad.
When she bought it, I was mad.
At first. So I'm like, I don't even smoke like that. Like, why are you buying this for me? So I come back from this trip and I've had this epiphany, like, you know, yeah, I'm about to get in the cannabis business. And then this magazine, I walk in my house and, like, on my dresser is this magazine. I'm like, huh. So then I'm thinking, like, oh man, maybe I was mean to her.
Yeah. Maybe she was on to something.
Maybe she saw something I didn't see.
Right.
She's trying to enlighten me. And so, you know, from there, kind of my curiosity peaked and then I would just start researching. And then there was a cannabis cup in Flint, Michigan. And so Flint was like maybe a three and a half, 4 hour drive from where mm-hmm. I was from. And it was like in a couple of weeks. This is right when I hurt my knee. And so I had knee surgery. And my business partner, Jamal, is in Atlanta. And I'm going to the cannabis cup. He's like, I'm going to make it the Hawks hat. Because at this time, we didn't just had an idea of the name of the company. We didn't have a website, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, had some stickers. Let's just go here and
start with
check
that.
Out the scenery and pass some stickers out.
Yeah.
And, you know, make some friends.
Stickers. Right.
And he's like, I'm going to make a dope Hawks hat. And this is, I'm joking. I'm like, man, you know what? Make me a Make America Dope Again hat. So I was for shits and giggles. So he's like, all right, I'll make the hat. So we get into the cannabis cup. I'm on crutches.
Oh.
And I got my hat on. As mm-hmm. soon as we walk in, you know, High Times approaches us. And like, yo, this hat, we need it. I'm like, oh, man, we might be on to something.
Yeah.
And so, like, the whole day, I just got stopped about the hat.
What?
And so leave, go back to the hotel, trademark it.
Right, immediately. Yeah. First things first.
Yeah, so then we left. We were like, all right, let's start putting the plan together. Mm-hmm. Get the website, start, you know, finding people that make hats and, you know, getting hats made. Get everything ready for October. This is like a couple of weeks before the election. Mm-hmm. At that time, nobody thinks Trump is going to win.
Right.
Selfishly, I'm watching the election. I'm like, oh, shit, like, mm-hmm. he might pull it out.
Yeah.
So. Greed me kicks in. I'm like, uh-oh, we really got something now. And the week after the election was MJ Biz in Vegas.
Okay.
Which is like the perfect place to go do something if
and
you're going
so
to.
We had a game. We got a lot of hats made, and we sent them out to Vegas to our hotel. And so we get there. We didn't have a booth or anything.
You guys were on the fly with this whole process.
Yeah.
So organic.
Listen, those are the best ideas when they just happen and you just are like, wait, how did I get here? I just literally blinked by.
Yeah. Like, really?
Yeah.
And so
that's cool.
We go there. We got the hats. We all had hats on. We got like, you know, a hat hanging off our bag. To let them know, like, it looks dope. We got them if you need them.
Yep.
And lo and behold, people started buying them. And I think like the first 4 hours, we did like $20,000 in sales.
Wow.
The first 4 hours, $20,000 in sales?
Yeah, we had a line at the bar and people just coming up to it. People were like,
from MJ Biz?
That's fucking crazy.
People were coming like,
that's fucking crazy.
They were buying hats on people's heads. So people were like, oh, I gotta come, I need another hat. Somebody just bought it off my head.
Okay, we gotta go next time, Sob. What are you doing? What are dollar signs? Like, what are you know what I mean?
I know, Bran.
Okay, wow.
That's how I happened, man. So
Rod's out here giving us ideas.
Yeah. I know. We've never been there, so that's great.
You gotta
know.
Go. Okay. MJ Biz is dope. That's how we took off.
Okay.
MJ Biz. So yeah, we did that. And so next thing you know, like, I'm having a conversation with here, like mm-hmm. talking to somebody about $1 million deal.
Yeah.
And my friends are like over the rail. Like, I got a picture on my phone, actually.
Yeah,
that's it.
Over the rail, selling hats at the bar.
Oh, what the heck? That's so cool.
Let me see if I can find it.
You had, like, a team of everyone wanting to hustle around.
Yeah, man. All my friends from school.
Yeah. From class in school?
Yeah.
See, that's why you fuck with that place so hard.
Class and gang.
Shout out to the people that went to class in, I guess.
There it is right there. So it's over the rail. Like,
wow.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
selling hats.
We love to see
it. That's so cool how it moved so fast.
Yeah.
And you were on crutches wearing it. Like,
yeah. Next thing you know, man, got invited to all these deals. We were in D.C. with NCIA, lobbying at the Capitol for banking and tax issues.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it all just like kind of just fell into place.
Worked out, yeah. It's like as it should have for you.
Yeah.
Like it was meant to happen.
Yeah.
That's so cool, Rod. So you've been creating a culture around Dopeaholics. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, what message are you wanting to send out?
Well, you know, we look at dope as such a subjective word. Mm-hmm. You know, dope.
Can be.
Can you know, you can be a dope person.
Yep.
That can be dope. You can smoke dope.
Yep.
you know, it just got a lot of words. And so we want to put the addiction, but not it being to the bad word. Dope, yeah. Just whatever you are, and it's dope. I'm addicted to dope.
Yeah. That's dope. It is, though. I love the word. I am an often avid user of that word.
Yeah, same. We bounce off each other.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, we do.
And so, you know, Make America Dope Again kind of took it with us in that time, such a divisive time.
Yeah.
You know, we had Republicans wearing the hats. People that were Trump supporters were like, we're not anti-Trump. Like,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah. Like, we're dope is for everybody.
Yeah,
the word's for everybody.
You know? So, like, it kind of segued into that. Hats took off. Of course, we got on. People wearing on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, heck yeah.
Lil
That's
Wayne's
tight.
Tour DJ. So, his tour band. We got on Love and Hip Hop.
Wow.
Nice. Got like a few big time pushes.
I love that.
Behind it. So, you know, it was just building the culture. I mean, of course, it's, you know, it's the competition.
Yes,
always.
And so, you know, look at marijuana as such a homogenous product. You know, we were talking about GDP earlier.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much you can do to, you know, make your product different from everybody else's. So,
right.
You know, he who grabs the culture, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, culture is everything. People appreciate culture.
Culture's currency.
Yeah, yes. It really, honestly, that's so real because I feel like culture is very inclusive, and people want to be a part of culture, and it brings so many people together, and that's important, and that's attractive.
Positive message is what's really, it's cool about it.
It's very attractive.
Yeah, having people gather because of a common mentality.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So what's been one of the coolest experiences you've had with your brand? Something that, like, you can, in your head, go back to that will fill your cup every single time?
Besides the hats.
That was a really good one.
I would say our first event, we have an event, we want to turn it into a festival called Super Dope.
Okay,
cool.
We had our first one in Atlanta in 2019, Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, nice.
And so we hadn't done any event. You know, we're just going off our hats. We got a website.
Just rolling with
just
it.
Rolling with it. And so we rented out a virtual reality bar in Atlanta.
A virtual reality? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Had Lil Wayne's DJ. So he DJed. And we had a chef, I guess you could say, legally make infused food.
Oh, nice. We love to hear it. That is a fucking vibe.
Yeah. And so put it on Eventbrite. Or it was free. We made it a free event.
Okay. Even better.
And so everybody came in and got free dope. That's what we said. But the dope was a hat. And so we had maybe like 300 hats.
Mm.
And so it turned out we packed the event out. Everybody around Super Bowl weekend was wearing hats around.
That's so sick.
So I think that'll probably stand out the most.
And to see that, I feel like is so like, damn, that's so crazy. Well, how one little idea literally has taken up. Well, we were standing in there and they were like, who is that guy? And I was like, oh, have you heard of the slogan, like, Make America Dope Again? They're like, yeah. And I go, that's him. And he goes, their mouths dropped. They were like, no way. That's cool. That's so cool. And I was like, yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah. I never thought it, man.
And it's so cool to hear people through, like, other people that you don't even know that are, like, they know what that is. And it's, like, passed on to Oklahoma. Yeah, and it's, like, here now.
It was crazy during that time. Like, a lot of people saw the hats from afar with a merch. And, you know, you really don't understand the power until you, like, put it on.
Yep.
And, like, people came, like, taking pictures or trying to buy it off your head.
Yeah.
Like, some people call it. I was in the airport. Somebody brought my sweatshirt. I need two more. And it was crazy.
That's crazy.
I think it blows my mind that people, like, actually are ballsy enough to come up to people and be like, hey, like, can I pay you X amount? Do they have you call the price?
Nah, I mean, I'll tell them to sell it what you want to sell it for, man.
But, like, if he bought it off of you.
You name the price. Somebody sold a half, like, $100.
What? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's value right there,
You know what's going to be cool is like 30 years from now, we look back and those things are going on eBay for like $1,000, $2,000. That's going to happen, you know. Yeah. It really
everybody
will.
Everybody can remember where they were.
Yeah.
Of
course, we had people like, you know, started copying. But we had a distinct advantage. You know, we had our snaps. Green. All our hats had green snaps.
Okay. That's how you know the OG. Yeah. That's smart.
I love that.
That's smart.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Let's take a second to talk about the newest addition to Noble Nectar's product line, Sub.
It's the Drizzle Solventless Rosin line that we are so excited about.
So with solventless rosin, this concentrate is created using a solventless technique, meaning they use just ice and water, and really, it's my go-to type of concentrate.
I totally agree, and we have definitely been exploring the world of dabs and their consistencies, and this year, Noble Nectar, they created four different versions of their special holiday kits.
A quick rundown includes the Flawless Concentrates Live Resin Kit with strains like Cherry Diesel Diamonds and Grease Monkey Plasma.
The Cartridge Live Resin Kit with strains like White Cherry Wedding Cake and Peanut Butter Sunrise.
Along with the new Drizzle Solventless Concentrate Kit with strains like Lava Cake Rosin and my favorite Papaya Melons, to name a few.
And lastly, the Cartridge Combo Kit, which includes live resin and live rosin options that you can choose from.
They even include their famous Noble Nectar batteries that are the quality ones that Brandon and I have loved.
We love them so much, and you will be able to purchase these kits at an Oklahoma dispensary near you, so be sure to follow Noble Nectar Extracts on Instagram for more info.
Now, let's get back to the episode.
So, okay, since we are smoking this, I guess, hemp wrap sob?
Yeah.
Hemp wrap blunt. Yeah. do you have any hobbies that you like to do, like, after you medicate? Like, anything that you'd love to do? Makes you feel good?
Music.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
I think really when I get creative, like whenever we're getting ready to create some new merch or new campaign, we call it, we are album mode.
Yeah. That's dope.
We're going to studio. So whenever we're about to be in album mode, like that's what.
That's cool.
And then, you know, turn some music on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we start, you know, creating with the studio.
Brainstorming.
Do you have like one album that you love to go to that just like sparks like. Just ignites you from front to end. And listen, I posted about this the other day because I can easily say Take Care is my top, like in my top three. I can listen to it from front to end, back to like all above. And yeah. I will never skip a song.
For people who don't know, Take Care by Drake.
Drake. Yeah, by Drake.
That's his best album.
That's his best album. Thank you. I could not agree more. Have it on vinyl.
Man, I would say during the time in L.A., it was... Well, you heard it. Nipsey.
Yeah.
That was because I moved out to LA in 2018. I quit my job. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I'm going to LA to go, you know, immerse myself in the culture.
Wait, what age did you do that? Stuttered majorly.
This was 2017, so I was 36.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I just turned 40. So.
Okay. Right on.
And I got there that first week of February. So it was like All Star weekend. And then Nipsey Hussle's album had like just dropped. And so. I was already a big Nipsey fan. So I think that time it'll always synonymous, like his stories, you know, with the grind, the independent, the route we were taking.
Yeah, but he also built culture. Yeah. Like I remember, I so vaguely remember when Nipsey passed, like it was, people were like distraught, like, but he had built such an inclusive culture that like, it would be like us chopping it up like this. It would never feel like, oh, a celebrity is in there, you know, or like, oh my gosh, this like big time dude, or, you know, he was so humble and did so much for the community. And that's, I can see that. That's dope.
That was my go-to. That anything Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And Anderson .Paak at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Anderson .Paak. I was heavy into him.
I feel like I've heard a couple of Anderson .Paak songs. I've not really dived deep. I always love to hear people's, like, what they listen to.
That's, like, the best musician out right now.
Really? Yeah, okay, Anderson .Paak. All right, I'm going to give him a try.
His live show is fire.
Okay, good to know.
And him and Bruno just dropped their album, so.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay, I did hear about that. All right, I'm going to check it out based on your recommendation. So you go between L.A. and OKC a lot. Mm-hmm. How do the cannabis cultures vary? What culture do you vibe with more?
Oh, man, this is a tough one.
I know. I want to hear it, though. Tell us the truth.
I'm trying to think. Man.
They're both a lot of part of you.
Yeah,
they're a big part of you, and they're both very different.
Because L.A. was my dream city. Like, I wanted to live there before I'd ever been.
Really? Okay.
I wanted to be in L.A. Man.
I love L.A. It's pretty cool. My sister lives there.
I think you know, it's a hard question because I think more on the business side now.
Yeah.
So I would say business wise, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All day, every day. Culture wise, it's kind of hard to go against LA.
That's real. Yeah, that's real. So how do you feel like the cannabis cultures are different between here and there? Do you find that there is a difference?
Of course, you got your aficionados out there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the weather. So, well, you know.
Yeah. It's more out. Do you find more outdoor grown there?
Yeah.
Sure. I feel like that was a stupid question, but you never know until you ask, you know?
And LA's just that, you know, vibey, you know, laid back city.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Oklahoma City is, you know.
But you don't have, I haven't been to LA, so I can't speak on that, but I can imagine the differences between Oklahoma being cool.
It's just a lot of different pockets of culture.
Yeah.
And there's a different atmosphere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have the freaking oceans energy all around you, too.
That's real.
Another level.
That's real. So let's switch it up really quick and talk family.
Okay.
What's cannabis like in your household? How do you navigate that with your family? Do they accept it? Tell us a little bit about that.
I was nervous, super nervous when I first had the idea to tell my parents.
Yeah.
I was like, man, you know, I'm a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And so I like tell my parents, like, yo, I'm about to go sell dope.
Yeah, right.
And so my dad, he would call, like, what you doing? I'm like, you know, I'm working. And I'm a night owl. So, you know, I'd be up working, you know, middle of the night. You know, he'd be like, oh, they working your heart at work. I'm like, no, it's, you know, it's for my stuff. I'm not for them.
Mm.
And he would always ask, you know, what you doing? Working. So I'm like, Kev, what you working on? I'm like, you know, I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
And
I know what that's like. I know what that's like.
And so he finally, I really want to know what you're doing. And I'm like, yeah, I'm about to, you know, I'm about to sell dope. And he was like, oh, I've been wanting to invest in that.
And you're like, hilarious. Damn, I should have said something sooner.
Oh, crap. And so yeah, that was my first investor in the company.
Wow, shout out to your dad.
Yeah.
If he listens to this.
The fact that you guys bonded over that, you know, that you were like kind of nervous about it and you said it and then you're like, that's what I knew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew. Yeah. Once my parents were like, cool, my mom was like, yo, it made money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot. She was like, go make your money.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's, yeah.
They were on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't really care what anybody else said.
Yeah, that's kind of how it was. Well, not really, kind of. Obviously, the medicinal values for my parents, but like, they were like, oh, you know, like, there's not, you, how do you make money in this? And I looked at them and I said, this is literally a recession-proof industry. And they go, oh, okay. Yeah. And then it was like, good.
COVID-proof too.
Yeah. It literally. Yeah. I was literally a necessity. Yeah. Like, that's crazy that I was.
Essential business.
I was essential.
Yeah.
Necessity.
Yeah. Essential was the word I was looking for. Necessity for was what came to mind.
Yeah.
Really?
Alcohol.
Yeah. And cannabis.
That was
honestly,
when all that was happening and places were closed down in Oklahoma, like, it was a good feeling to know that your dispensaries were open.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just to be able to, like, go buy whatever you needed to.
Oh, it kept so many people, especially people that were at home with their kids. Like, I had moms come in and be like, Saba, I need the mommy strain, whatever you gave me last time. And I'm like, okay, sweetie, I got you.
All of those soccer moms.
Yeah, shit. Yeah.
So cannabis got a better rap during that time, and so did teaching.
Absolutely, yeah. You know what? 100% agree with that. Shout out to our teachers.
It should have been a long-ass time ago,
I know, but it's crazy it took that for parents to be like, oh, shit, maybe I should. I'm going to be a lot nicer to my kid's teacher next year.
Really.
Getting better Christmas gifts, everything.
Seriously, teacher appreciation week, give her $1,000.
The whole year. So if you had some advice to give your younger self, Rod, what would that be?
Oh, man.
And then there's always a lot we could always say. Yeah. But what stands out to you?
You know, I would say I wouldn't care about school. Even though I do advocate, you know, education and stuff like that. I think, you know, my dad was an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think the school system forces people to, you know, it's a caste system, kind of.
It does.
And not, you know, really going to tap into your gifts.
It's messed up.
And so, you know, I was always in the smart classes. Mm-hmm. But he's smart, put him in smart classes. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever looked into, you know, my, like, creativity and stuff.
How you're wired.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the stuff I'm doing now, even when it came to, like, you know, the slogan and t-shirts, that was stuff I was thinking of in high school. You know, I would think of stuff. Oh, this would be cool on the shirt because I always liked
that's
shirts
cool.
with slogans.
Yeah.
But I would never, I was like, I'm not going to do that. So I didn't do it, you know, because looked at it like, oh, I'm on the path to be a lawyer.
Right.
I need to go be a
and
lawyer.
Doing school. I need to do my schoolwork.
But those ideas I had, I always liked hats.
Yeah.
I got a hat on now.
Yeah.
And I always wore t-shirts with like slogans and things like that. And so I would say just listen to your soul.
That would
be my number one advice to myself.
I agree with that.
I feel like that's deep. Listen to your soul.
Well, and that's I think that comes from like a place of a lot of growth and like age and like wisdom, you know, because I mean, I was just thinking about like going to school too and stuff and like going to college and all this stuff. And like, I, you know, there's so many things I didn't learn that I needed to learn or could have been like set up for success in a different way. Like you were saying,
like 100%.
How to balance a checkbook, how to take care of your taxes.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know.
You know, we should have actually learned.
School is so
they
hard
taught
for
me,
me,
they made me go to take upper division electives that was like PE. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, I'm paying $3,000 for PE. Like, what's happening?
But also, like, kind of going back to what you were saying about like being young and like when you're going to college out of high school and you're like 18, like no one knows what they want to do.
Yeah.
And like that's something I always like stick with me. Like if and whenever I have children at some point, like that's not something I'm going to be like, no, you go to college. Now you went to high school. You know, it's just like it doesn't have to be a tradition. It doesn't have to be that. You can follow your little heart, your creativity, something that you really shine in and like do something with that. Like create your own business.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because that's something I feel like I always was like, I always like had in me and I always cruise with it.
I've
but it would
same,
just get suppressed like over and over because it was like you're studying so many hours for this test you don't even care about or this or because you're trying to get this many credits and going in debt this many dollars to be able to, for what?
Yeah.
For what?
To not be happy.
I know, right? Yeah. So it's just, that's a whole nother
rabbit hole. So let's talk about really quick. So you're a lawyer as well. Uh-huh. What's that like when it comes to cannabis? Like, how long have you been practicing law? And then, like, what's just, like, the shift in that world? And, like, has it been accepted? Do you feel like it's helped you during, like, hard times? Like, just talk a little bit about that.
I would say it's socially acceptable as it's becoming.
Yes.
In a place like Oklahoma, you know, and criminally, they still treat it like, you know, you're a crack dealer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Got crazy cases. I get client coming up. Well, next month, a friend, not even a client. He had a grow license. Grow him and his partner fell out, and they're gonna change licenses over. And so you know he went through the process to change the licenses over. Like you can tell he's trying to follow the law. Emails the OMMA asking, can we have plants in the ground? You know, while we change licenses, everything. They're like, yeah, you're fine. Well, the partner calls. When the old license expired and said, hey, there's illegal grow going on over here at this place. And so they hadn't got the new license yet because this is right during the pandemic, right? When everything is first hit. And so they were telling them, like, your license is coming in the mail. You're fine. You know, just use the old license. Well, the cops show up with OMMA saying, oh, this is an illegal grow. Take them to jail.
I think I remember this. I remember hearing about this. This is in Oklahoma, right?
Okay. Yeah, Oklahoma. Yeah.
Yep. I'm familiar
them.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. Take them to jail. Hit them with 6 charges.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you can tell.
So his partner went behind his back pretty much?
Yeah, not, well, the partner, they broke up because the partner was stealing money. And so he made a deal with another company, like, hey, they weren't using their license, come over here to this building. License transfer, I said paperwork. Yeah.
Paperwork.
Paid the fees, everything.
That's so fucked.
When they came, so ripped all the plants out of the ground. And they hit him with 6 charges.
And it was like over $1 million that they, like, worth of product that they took from this man. And, like, that was his livelihood.
Yeah, it's a Millwood school board member, disabled vet.
And he has a family.
Is that case looking good?
I mean, his paper trail is, you know, is gorgeous.
Which is one, you can't imagine.
He's still going against the state.
And so,
They're trying to, like, give him deferred sentences. But, like, man, why am I getting, you know.
Yeah.
Charges. Like, you see, I'm trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I wasn't doing that. I was above board, you know, above the water with everything.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like it's good for people to hear things like that you are out here doing this work and that these things do still happen, even when people do have their paperwork and they are legally doing everything appropriately, that things get lost in transition. The system's fucked and how we still need to fix a lot of things within, like, even communication with OMA. And, you know, like, how lack of, I feel like, sometimes accountability there.
Yeah.
With
that. LaRue Bratcher. You know, I helped with his case behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, killed the guy breaking into his grow, meth head.
Yeah.
Breaking into his grow.
I remember that.
For the second time.
Okay, yeah.
And he got arrested, you know, because his license was expired. So hit him with charges. And so because his license was expired, you know, if somebody came in here right now, this is legal business.
Yeah.
You can kill them.
Yeah.
Castle doctrine. In your house, you can kill them. Self-defense, you're fine.
Yeah.
Liquor license, liquor bar, any place you could do that. Cannabis, because his license was expired, they said, oh, you don't have these rights anymore. You're a fugitive. But, you know, like, I don't know any drug dealer that tells the government, this is where my spot is.
Yeah. Right? Well, but also, I remember, like, when, like, around the time COVID, OMA in general, but I remember the time around the time COVID hit, they were dodging phone calls like crazy. And yeah. like, you couldn't get a response. It would take us a week and a half to get an email back, let alone actually being able to talk to somebody. So even prior to that, I'm sure it was like they were just waiting on OMA type thing. It's crazy yeah. that it has to be like
that. Or the fact that you can just snap your fingers and it changes so fast.
So
like
fast.
That.
Yeah.
Like it's just
like
so
one
unfair.
Day makes such a big difference.
Another disabled vet, father of five, had to sit in jail for a year. They didn't give him bond.
No bond?
He just got out this year. Finally got a bond. So he sat in county jail for a year. No bond.
Man, bless his heart.
I know. I know.
Wow. Oh, man. Well, thanks for being out there and
I know,
to help
doing the work. Seriously.
Nah,
people
problem,
like
man.
You really do help change the stigma.
Actively.
And like you're in it. You're really in the heart of it and making a huge difference in these people's lives. And this is what matters. And you speaking out on it here is it matters so people yeah. know what the hell is going on and like how yeah. it's not just rainbows and butterflies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, there's two sides to this industry and there's still so much work left to be done.
Yeah, a lot.
True, true.
Yeah. Well, Rod, we like to ask everyone this question, okay. but what's a stigma you would like to see changed revolving cannabis?
That it's a drug.
Yeah.
Preach.
That'll be my number one thing, you yeah. know. Mm-hmm. I think Cat Williams. Was it American Hustle? American
I love that you said Cat Williams and we all just bust out laughing.
You know, yeah. you gotta cook it. You gotta stir it, you know.
Right. That's a very fine difference.
That
you gotta,
is so
you gotta
funny.
Make drugs.
Yes.
You know, you gotta use some cut.
Yeah.
Baking soda water.
Yeah. I guess you do make concentrates, like cannabis concentrates. Yeah. Like you're creating all that. Like yeah. you are cooking meth, but not the same thing.
Not the same thing at all.
Not the same things at all. You know, oh, that's funny.
Cannabis side effects, happy, hungry, sleepy.
Yeah.
Literally,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's helping people. You know, yeah. it's not, I marked that more. Educating my sister. I think a lot of people think there's a difference between, you know, well, I'm cool for medical cannabis, but not recreational. And I would tell people, like, it's yeah. the same thing.
It is the same thing.
It's how
I
you
agree.
Do it.
It's just how you can 100%. Get a card. Or you need a license.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're smoking to unwind, yeah. that's still you smoking to medicate yourself after a long day, whether it's yeah. for your body, yeah. whether it's for your mind,
they go
whether
hand
it's for
in
your
hand.
Soul. They yeah. literally do everything.
Really do.
It's all connected.
Yeah, well, I'm telling them, the only yeah. difference is, right, in California, I can go with my license. Oklahoma's medical. I need a doctor card. I need
yeah.
a mm-hmm. marijuana card. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. The weed is the same.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So crazy. High
five. Yeah, the weed is the same,
yeah.
man. So,
yeah.
Man, it's a plant. Comes from the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, one last thing. So, new campaign, Free Mary.
Free Mary.
All right.
All right, talk about that a little bit.
So, of course, people's friends are in jail. It's Free Rod, mm-hmm. Free Saba, you know, mm-hmm. Free Such and Such, Free Brandon. Mary's, you know, been in jail.
Yeah.
So, we're saying, you know, Free Mary. And we tied in... partner with the Urban League here to get marijuana expungement. So
cool.
Amazing.
I love yeah. to see that happening. Yeah. I've heard that happening in Missouri. Some people yeah. who mm-hmm. are doing that.
Yeah.
At one of our
yeah. We actually went to this. Yeah. We went to this cannabis conference recently yeah. where this couple started this. I don't know if it was a nonprofit or what, but it was this company to help expunge people's records
that.
And but also help them with rehabilitation after and having a plan like out for them where they live, clothes for them, like a place where they can try and find work, you know, so they have like it's not like they just willy-nilly throw them out in the world, but it's like actually helping with the rehabilitation where the system does not.
Yeah.
So that's really cool that you guys are doing that.
Yeah, Free Mary. Everybody run with it.
All right.
Cool. Thanks for sharing, Rod. Well, I feel like this conversation's been really awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It has.
Thanks for being here today, Ron.
Yeah,
we
thank
appreciate
you so much.
All of
no
your
problem.
Thoughts and your perspective and your wisdom that you've been poured into this podcast mm-hmm. today.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening for today's episode, guys. And as always,
stay medicated.
Oh.